The Social Geeks is a Spike Studio production. The Social Geeks episode 29 for September 15th, 2010. A retweet costs how much? Welcome, everybody. Tonight, it's myself, Caleb, and Corvita to run through the latest news, including Twitter. Both of you.
Hey, both of you. All right, let's see.
Do it.
What are we at?
Please.
What are we at? 29.
Episode 622.
Episode 29 of the Social Geeks. We had a promise of 5. We're sitting at 3. I'm presuming we're going to get a couple strays that wander in, one of which would be a Wayne Sutton, the other Jeff is a Geek. But to start it out, we have Caleb.
Hello.
You are here.
How's it going?
Are you at home? Are you San Fran?
I am in San Francisco. I am at the Justin.TV offices in one of our conference rooms.
That's why it sounds so crystal clear due to all that bandwidth at Justin TV.
We have a 1 gigabit line. It's amazing.
Just for you?
We go straight to our data center.
No, I mean, is it just yours or does everybody have
Oh, yeah, one? It's just ours. I mean, we ran fiber to our data center.
I meant you personally. Do you have your own gigabit line?
No, it's shared for the office, unfortunately. It's still pretty fast.
It's very fast.
You know, 1,000 megabits.
So everybody knows we were playing around with broadcasting some of the Social Geeks Live with Justin. We're trying to find the right client to work with.
We'll figure it out.
We will. But so you'll be able to watch us as we record this show and as we go. We could get one audio, one video, but I was getting a bad echo, so we let it sit for a few. Then we jumped to the East Coast, all the way to New York. Corvita.
Hola.
Oh, I can say, are we on mute again? Are you back? Corvita's back. Are you in New York City today?
I am in New York City. I've just arrived back home from The Economist, had a conference today, the Idea Economy, about the human potential. So had a great time at that conference. And now on to the podcast.
Excellent. Yes, on we go. That's the biggest part of the whole thing is on we go. So we got not a ton of news this week because it's all been really sucky, sporadic, low end. And it's
no harm to everyone who had announcements, but not big enough for the Social Geeks.
No, it's got to be huge. No,
huge news.
Huge news.
I might be able to drop a bomb on us at the end. I didn't even tell you guys about.
Okay, well, you know what? That's the surprise. That is the hook to keep everybody with us until the end. How's that? Or they'll scroll ahead. Either way, they're with us to the end. That's all that matters. But
if we were live broadcasting, I wouldn't be able to say it.
Correct. But, well, then we won't tell.
There's going to be a delay. This isn't going to come out till Thursday morning. So.
Correct. You are absolutely. It will not come out till tomorrow morning. I guarantee by the time I'm done editing, it won't be out till tomorrow. I already put out another podcast earlier today. I'm done editing. So the big news, though, was Twitter.
Twitter.
You know, we wait around and we wait around and we talk about them in passing. We've actually stayed away from them quite a bit over the Social Geeks. I've looked back through the episodes. We stayed away from Twitter a lot. So who wants
I think the blogs do a good job of covering it enough.
Well, they do, but we got to talk about the new pained interface and what we think of it. You know, is it worth it? What is it? Is it going to make a game changer?
Go
ahead.
So Justin TV is one of the 16 launch partners with their embedded media.
Oh.
And so we actually got to help them out a little bit. We've been working with them for the past few months. And so all we knew was that there was something happening with media, and we were building them an API, super secret, so that they could pull in the live video and the archive video. And they'd been great to work with, but it had been very cloak and dagger around what this was. So no one really knew. But we got to see it yesterday a little bit early. And so they brought us in, and they told us basically there was going to be video and audio and different sorts of media types. But also that they had redesigned the entire interface for Twitter.com. And the reasons they gave were that they wanted to make it even easier for people who wanted to casually discover content on Twitter.com to be able to do that, and that they felt Twitter.com was still too hard to use in its previous incarnation. So they spent a lot of time trying to make it easier to navigate, easier to search, and provide more context around tweets. So that's with media like Justin TV videos or YouTube videos or Flickr photos. But also in a tweet, for instance, if I were to mention at Corvita or at IDoNotes, then it would actually say underneath the tweet in the sidebar that slides out who you guys were and shows a little mini profile. So if I had no idea who you were, I could actually find out a little bit about you. So they've been working on this for a while. I think it's great. I'm really excited by it. Our accounts are activated with it, so we've been able to play with it, and it's very fast, and I think it's a great upgrade.
So you've already been playing with the interface then, so you've actually seen it.
Yes. So it is great.
As I bookmark some articles around it for everybody, let's talk about the couple things that Twitter said that is a big deal. They've said, number one, that the Twitter.com interface is still the number one, quote, client of choice for people to work with the Twitter, you know, as sending messages, reading, doing everything they want to do with it. But it's also a killer for certain sites that rely on the external linking. Like they give, I believe it's TwitPic as one of the examples, don't they?
Yep.
That it's now embedded, so why would you ever visit their site? Who is ad-driven? So they were relying on those CPMs and you hitting the site to pick up the ads for them to make money. So now they're just grabbing your picture and throwing it in Twitter.com. Do you guys see that as a killer for some of the developers?
I'll take it.
Either one of you.
No, I mean, we were excited to do the deal. And for us, the big thing was we just want more people to experience Justin TV and to be able to experience it where they want to. I mean, we already provide people an ability to embed the live video or archive video. And so to be able to be even closer to the users who want to watch the video, it was good for us. And TwitPic clearly decided to do it as well. So I think they're happy with it. And to be able to get more exposure and to be more integrated is a good thing in the long run.
But do they have a choice? Because there's other third-party clients that actually draw the pictures in from these, like YFrog and TwitPic. Mm-hmm. I don't think you have a choice. It's open, right? They could just grab an embed code for the image and put it in there. There's no way around it.
I mean, they could block it the same way that Hulu blocks certain clients, sure. But that's just not a winning strategy. And so I think you need to find a way to make your business work with the assumption that people are going to put your content wherever it is. And if you operate with our business will work, the more people experience our content, that's sort of the way that the web is working right now.
What do you think, Corvita, about things like Seismic and the others now that you know Twitter is trying to drive you to their own?
I don't know what to say about them because I don't use them personally. As far as like, I am unfortunately a statistic on this one. I use the Twitter website as my client more than anything. I dabble in Hootsuite because I like their scheduling feature, but I don't know. I just see them being wiped out by the new changes. I think if Twitter can improve a couple other features, also like lists. They could potentially wipe them out.
Well, the article is right.
It's cool that they're mentioning other social networks. Like, I know Seismic just released an upgrade where they're not plugging into other social networks. But I don't know. I feel like that only takes startups so far these days.
Well, the article is right that they had in the Chronicle out there in San Francisco, that the right side will have lists, trends, information about your friends, your followers, things like that. So you will get that information in that right-hand pane. Now, is it true, do you guys know, the way you're notified of the upgrade is by a DM, or is it just going to show up for everybody?
There's a blue top bar, like a blue strip across the entire interface that will let you know the new Twitter is ready for you. Would you like to use it? And you can click on that and you can swap over.
I see the.
So, I haven't seen this blue bar yet, so I'm pretty kidding.
It only shows up on your account. So they're rolling it out slowly. Yesterday they rolled it out to about 1% of users, and they're going to slowly add more. But they didn't give a timeline, and that's smart because they don't know what the load is going to be. One cool point about it that I like being on the technical stuff is like they built the entire site now using their API. So the same API that outside developers have, same API that runs their mobile sites, their iPhone app, Android app, iPad app, is running the website now. So www is all running off of that. And that's only good to improve, like that's great for the ecosystem to make sure that they're eating their own dog food and they have a very strong incentive, and they have since the mobile apps have become so popular, to make sure the API is working correctly and is stable. It's not two separate tracks, right? The Twitter.com stuff and then everyone else. Now it's all integrated. So that's a good sign for improving the overall stability of Twitter everywhere you encounter it.
Well, I just logged into the interface to see if I have a lovely notice or bar across the top. And looking at it, no.
No.
I don't think they got the memo. The Social Geek should be getting this first and early. We've been lucky enough to get, one of us has been lucky enough to get some features. It seems that somehow one of us always gets one of the features early on across all the products, but this one seems to have escaped at least the three of us. Well, I'm sorry, two of us. You had it because Justin is working with them on some of the content. So
yep,
that's a good thing. Now, the last part is, and I wrote this article up a while ago about the ecosystem. Do you think Twitter is taking control of their entire... Holy cow, that didn't sound good. Twitter's taking control of their entire base of client deployment and everything else by building their own. Basically, all these third-party developers that make free content, I mean, free content, but free clients are being basically not shut down, I'd say, holy, but they're really getting hit hard by Twitter getting an official BlackBerry, an official Android, an official iPhone, you know, now updating the web interface.
Yeah, but people still like options. People still like the variety that's available. I don't just use the Twitter mobile app. I actually probably use Twitter a lot more. And I like to experiment with, you know, just to see what, how, I think mobile design is a little more fluid. So the ideas that people can come up with are creative, especially for the iPhone app. So, you know, it keeps Twitter on their toes, too. At the same time, and I think they're doing what they should have done from the get-go, but I personally think they might have been scared to or didn't really know how to go about it, and they pretty much had years to sit back and watch the developer community basically fulfill our needs on somewhat every level, and then Twitter come in and do the same thing just in their way with their branding.
And stomp all over them. I can see a lot.
Pretty much.
A lot of these, right? A lot of these partners, if you don't have something that's really stand out right now, you're just in a little bit of trouble. Mainly because a lot of people can't find you, and secondly, why would we go anywhere else when Twitter offers it? You know, natively is what we say. What do you use, Caleb, for your client?
I use Tweety on the desktop, and I use the official Twitter clients on my phone. I've tried a bunch of others. I've tried Echo Phone. I've tried TweetDeck. I've tried Brizzly. I've tried a bunch, and I just keep coming back to the super clean interface ones, and those are the ones. I mean, I'm not a super power user. I have a few accounts that I use, but Tweety manages those fine, and I'm very happy with their clients, and I'm definitely going to be using the website more. I've already been using it more in the past few days, or in the past day, really. And I think that the thing to think about is, like, they could have decided early on not to have an API, and none of these other clients would have built. And I don't think they would have been able to roll out things to their site or anything else faster. So I think they're really focused on the fact that people are already using the website as the majority client means that most people are just not interested in a third-party client in general or something extra than the website. And that if they were, they're probably being served pretty well by those special features. So I'm not totally convinced that it's going to kill any of these outside clients unless people feel like the website is going to be totally better for them. And I don't think they've done much to serve the people like Robert Scoble, for instance, who have very specific needs. And I think there's a lot of people who are sort of in that sort of Uber user group who use TweetDeck and these other apps. And that's a sizable market, especially as Twitter continues to grow. They're at 160 million users. There'll be a larger and larger number of absolute people who want those super deep features, and I don't think Twitter will build those anytime soon.
No, I don't think that's going to happen either, but I don't know how much, you know, Scoble's, I reached out to him the other day to talk about RSS stuff, but I think he has a much deeper need than a lot of other people in terms of tuning and filtering and everything else that any client is going to have a hard time keeping up with unless they write a stream-specific client that he can actually start extracting, you know, keywords or hot stories or a kick post for Twitter, you know, per se. We'll edit that out later. So the idea would be to get that stuff out of there. I just see it being...
I think at the same time, they still have a bit of an unfair advantage because it is their platform. So some things like the new features that come out, Twitter is automatically going to cater to that off that, while these the developers will have to wait for, you know, that process to figure into the API.
Well, no limits for them, right? They don't have an API limit on their own stuff either, so they can do what they want to do.
there's plenty of clients who have no API limits. So that
yeah, there's a few.
They've figured that out.
A few around the fire hose. All right, we'll leave Twitter alone. Everyone, we hope you see the update soon on your interface. I know there's lots of articles about it out there, lots of reading. We'll link to a couple in the show notes. And once you see it, if you want to give us some feedback, please feel free to send us a note or give us a phone call and let us know, and we'll get the audio on the air for you as well. So the new Twitter client, we'll see what it does. Next up, let's just jump to something that doesn't exist. How about Google Me? It doesn't really exist yet. They keep saying it exists. They finally announced news that Google Me will be put into the wild, kinda, this autumn. Basically, what was the statement from Eric Schmidt? We're trying to take Google's core products and add a social component. By knowing more about who your friends are, we can provide more tailored recommendations and search quality can get better. I think Google Me's knowing more about who you are and who your ring is of friends and relationships, and tailoring not just necessarily a network around it, but more of their tools around it than anything. I don't think it's a social network. It's more what exists already. Neither one of you have a thought on that. That's okay. Great. Thanks.
I was going to let Corvita jump in.
I don't know.
She's drinking juice.
I really don't know how to feel about this one.
Are you looking forward to see what they release?
I'm going to force her to talk.
Google just has a history of sucking at social networking in general. To me, I haven't used many of their social media products for a long period of time, so I'm not excited about this. The hype is a typical response of most Google products right now, and I don't agree with it. There isn't enough being said to really separate it from what's already out there, to me. So I don't know. We'll see. I don't have my hopes up about it.
Do you see Google, Corvita, do you see Google services as different social networks, or do you see them as one or as a social network at all?
I don't see them as a social network at all. They haven't integrated the features right. Like, they could be, but I don't know if Google will get it right.
What about you, Caleb? Do you use them as a social network at all?
Email is probably the strongest social network I have. So I use them for that.
Okay.
I don't think most people think of that as social networking. So I will say that two of the things that are some of the biggest activities on Facebook, sharing photos and playing social games, they already have a Picasa, but it's not very human centric. It's sort of very mechanical around like organizing folders of photos and things. So I think they need to figure out what their photo strategy will be and how they can make that better. They've clearly invested hundreds of millions of dollars buying Slide and buying many other ancillary social gaming companies,
right,
mobile payment companies, things like that, to support this idea of being able to play games. And so I think they'll figure those things out. I think this is a lot like Android maybe a few years ago, where people didn't necessarily understand why Google was, or if Google was going to be able to build a mobile operating system, in the same way that, you know, Apple was sort of the juggernaut. I think Facebook is that place clearly at this point for social networking. And I think when Google puts their mind to something and they want to win at something, they've proven they can do it. I don't think any of their previous social networking efforts have come from the top down. Most of them have come out of 20% time projects, where Android was very clearly a strategic decision that they made and they wanted to do well. And I think in the past 2 years, they've proven that they've at least been able to make a very big impact. So I wouldn't write it out. I just don't know what it's going to be like yet. And Facebook is clearly a very fast company in terms of being able to implement functionalities and features, and they have a very strong desire to win as well. So I am very excited to see what happens in the fall. And Google has a lot of my information, and I use them for a lot of things. And one of the most important things I care about with internet properties, at least, is speed. So we'll see. I'm definitely excited to see what happens. I don't know what to expect, but I'm expecting something.
Here's what's missing to me, and anywhere you use Google services, is there's no giant map of your friends across all the different services that they offer, as well as a reason to use them all together. So I may be connected to you through your Google Apps account or through Gmail. I may, you know, see you on chat there. I may email you. I might see you on Latitude, right? And that's not necessarily part of mail, but it sees my contacts. Voice is there, but it sees it kind of, it all kind of in the back end kind of sees each other, but nothing really glues it all together. There's no social circle that's built around. And that's what they're missing. I think that's what Mi is going to try to do, is bring a social circle around all their services and who you are, and start really forefronting this. They have a check-in service. They have an email service that no one else has. Facebook doesn't have it. Twitter doesn't. No one has that built in. So they have your contacts as well. So they can build a circle around those you, what kind of screwed up with Buzz, right? Who you email the most type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
What they goofed up very well there. But they can actually start building almost like a GIST interface of your contact management, then couple that with all the services they let you hook into. And you do have a social graph. I don't think it's supposed to be a network. More is it supposed to be a way for you to manage everyone that you're connected to and how you're connected to them. Now,
I think they want it to be a full-on Facebook-style competitor where you're spending hours on this. I don't think it's going to be some layer that they're going to put into all of their other applications.
Well, this is good. This is good. So let's compare what they have that the other one doesn't have. Forget the number of users. They could go back and forth saying all the number of users. Facebook has Picasa. Google has Picasa. Facebook, no photo imaging, right? Google has Latitude, which they're just starting to rebuild a little bit. It's been there for a while longer, but then Facebook launched Places. Google has all your contacts. Everyone you've emailed as well as you corresponded with. Facebook has just people you friend and then pseudo networks that they have. Google has voice capabilities, right? I'm not talking chat. I'm talking actual phone system voice, find me type stuff. Facebook doesn't. Google has video and audio. And a broken chair. Is that same chair?
Yep.
Is that squeaky from last week?
So we're scrappy. We don't invest in, awesome chairs.
It's squeaky. So they have audio and video, right, built in, which they gave to everybody, but you're not seeing that in Facebook. There is some video clients and apps and things. What they don't have is games.
Facebook, which they just bought.
Right. Well kind of. But yeah, Facebook has a very well-grown games area. Right, from the farms and the Mafia Wars to the Old Town or whatever it is now, the Wild West.
Frontierville.
Wild West, whatever that one is.
But here's the thing, Zynga is very clearly excited about branching out, right? They did the deal with MSN, they're doing a deal with Yahoo. They don't want to be tied to Facebook, so I don't think it'll be too hard to get them on board.
Well, of course not. But I'm saying, so now what does Facebook have besides, half a million guaranteed users sitting there, half a billion sitting there, that Google doesn't have already pre-built? So what do they have compared
to? An understanding of how to build social products.
Correct.
That are intended to keep people on site rather than direct them to something else.
They've got something
else. And a strong belief that the product is more important necessarily than the technology.
Okay.
And Google's sort of on the opposite side, I would say.
I'm waiting to see if you pick up the other one they've got. Think about it. The other thing that Facebook has that Google doesn't really have is they have a very much more in-depth profile of you than any other system. People inherently trust the system, and they put everything in there, from birth dates to what they like, to music, to video, to audio, to where they work, to where they went to school. Google doesn't have that.
Yep.
So they're going to have to rely heavily on their profiling, and that's what I think Google's trying to build with this, is this idea of me, this profile of you, because once they get that and hook it all together, then they can explode across all the different areas. Okay, so that's just me. That's just me standing on a box. Corvita, what the heck? Well, we forgot YouTube too. Sorry, all the video from YouTube. We forgot that as well. But Corvita?
Yes, I'm here.
I know you're there, but you're always on mute because you're drinking. We can hear you in the background. What do you see between the two? It's just something we just thought of on the fly. Is a big difference between the two. Anything else that we missed?
No.
Great. All right. So go back to mute. All right.
We'll just hit the nail on the head with it.
We'll just edit that one whole out right there. We'll just edit the whole thing out. All right, before we do another story, Caleb's used to this now. We have to do our sponsor. We really
Yay!
Have to do our sponsor. Yay! GoDaddy. GoDaddy's still with us. They're loving us. Apparently, all of you really want to buy domains. So GoDaddy renewed the codes. I almost gave the wrong numbers last time. But we'll start off. They gave us Social G 4, 5, and 6. Last time I edited out the bad numbers. So it's Social G 4, 5, and 6. For Social G 4, we'll give you 10% off your order. So that's on anything you want to buy, 10% off. So use these to your advantage. Social G 5 will give you $5 off any order, $30 or more. Now, when you reach a certain point, it's wiser to use Social G 4 because the percentage off would be greater than 5. For those slow at math, work that one out.
Probably not our audience, but...
Well, you'd be surprised at the people that renew or buy at one time. It's we don't see, so everyone knows, we don't see individual purchases. We actually don't seal that, but you'll get tagged if there's a large-scale purchase, and people are like getting smart with the 10%. And then Social G6 for you first-timers that are just starting out, you can get your first domain for $749.
Nice.
So you're trying to get your own domain, $749. You own it. None of that 99-cent junk where they try to keep you on their systems. You own your domain. You can do what you want. But then two new ones real quick. Any hosting plan. So if you want to put your web stuff up, if you want to put loose files, do your own podcast, just don't do one like ours. We'll give you 20% off with Social G201. And the last one is their new SSL certificates. GoDaddy's jumped into the SSL world. So Social SSL1 will get you an SSL cert for $12.99. So for personal, your personal web server, whatever you want to do, we've got a bunch of codes for you. I know I use them. Caleb said he uses them. Corvita, do you use in GoDaddy?
Yep.
Do you like GoDaddy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've never had a problem with them. I rarely have to check my account.
You don't have to give a testimonial. I was just asking the question. It's no problem. So everyone, look in the show notes. The link will be there as well. But remember, Social G 4, 5, and 6. And then if you're getting into the hosting or SSL, we have plans for you to get another discount. So we thank GoDaddy for sticking with us now for basically a year. So they've been hanging around. So... onward through the news. What do we have next up on the list? Does anyone remember while I'm digging through the list real quick?
Google Instant.
Google Instant. Yes, let's talk about the Instant thing was a whole thing. So go, Caleb. Start us with there, because now everybody has an Instant.
Yes. So Google a few days ago decided to hold a press event at the SF MoMA right across the couple blocks away from us.
Did you go?
I did not go.
Oh, okay.
It's not cool enough to be invited, but we did go to the after party, and I got to talk to some of the people. Basically, they introduced a new way to interact with Google.com, and the big thing is that as you start typing, as almost everyone's seen, it begins searching for you with what it expects you're trying to search for. So if I start typing in CA, it might start searching for car, or it might start searching for California. Or if I start typing in REC, it's probably going to search for recipe, and it instantly starts showing it. You don't have to click the enter button. And so what they were talking about was the reason they did this is they've spent a lot of time in the few hundred milliseconds that happen once you enter your query, getting that page back to you as fast as possible. But in their testing, they realized that there's many seconds of time people spend formulating their query, and then many seconds of time they spend browsing the results. And so there was a big opportunity to cut out seconds of time in that overall search experience. And so they wanted to do that. And so they've done that with this new experience. It's really only on .com right now. So I search mostly from Chrome, the Chrome bar, or from Safari's sort of search interface on the right. So I actually don't use it that much. But I think it's great. Really, really fast, super smart innovation there, and just shows, you know, Google continues to work on making search better and better and better, and distancing themselves from the competition.
Well, we ended up with a bunch of memes though afterwards, which was
yes
to our benefit as a user and a consumer. Everyone needs to understand this is to our benefit. So the first one was it YouTube?
It was YouTube Live or Instant, YouTube Instant.
YouTube Instant. So searching for videos at YouTube, and then. Just the past day or so, a 15-year-old decided he wasn't happy with the way that he liked the store for iTunes and created iTunes Instant. So everyone should be aware of this. We'll link it in the show notes. But Stephen, if you ever hear this, and we pronounce your, is it just ow or ooh or it's OU. And apparently he's like 15, and he made iTunes Instant. So as you start to search for an artist or a song or even a movie, it bam, it's right there. As soon as you start typing and looking, it's pulling up everything. He used the API and has created an incredible, very Google-ish interface for that. We'll link that in the show notes so everyone understands. But it's quite impressive for the App Store. Is there another one that's out there either of you two know?
I can't think. I know there was three at least.
Corvita, is there another one that you know?
Yeah, there was at least three. There was the iTunes. There was someone that did another
one. Oh, there was a Google Maps Instant as well.
Yeah.
Can we get one for weather? Can we get a weather Instant somewhere? If someone could work against the API at like weather.com, if they have one or something, and get us like a weather Instant, that would be wonderful. I'd like to see a few others. Now, Facebook kind of does that already, right? So when you're inside searching for anything in a name, it looks against your current friends and groups and networks and looks for, that as you type. So they've had that all along. But is there any other products that we think could use an instant?
Travel search results could be faster.
Travel search would be great. I know that airlines have a hard time when we query the system based upon flight availability and seats. That would be nice. But how about a quick instant search just to tell me how many seats are available for certain flights, right? Just so I can get an idea. That would be a good one out there. So a lot of these people are writing them up based upon the APIs. I'd like to see some more.
I'd like to see a Flickr instant search.
Ah, very good.
That would be awesome.
So photos based on tags and whatever, so a Flickr. I'm trying to think about, you'd expect all the photo services. What about one that searches across things like Dig?
News, Reddit, Dig.
Kickpost. Kickpost is an instant source.
Kickpost is instant, yes, that's
right,
true.
We don't have to go to the other ones anymore. We have Kickpost. Eventually we'll have Kickpost, sorry. When it's available to the general public,
we'll
have Kickpost eventually. What else do we
Twitter,
have on the list?
Twitter instant?
No, that's too much junk.
I
can't go with that. That fire hose and so much repeat. It'd have to, if they had a Twitter instant, it would have to trim out the memes, and it would also have to trim out the information of the reposts and get us back to the core post of the whole thing. If it could do that based upon time, I would buy in.
All right.
I would buy in based on that. So show me the original poster of something or when it came out so I get an idea of how old the news is, right? What time it came out, things like that. Because I never know based upon constant retweets and memes. I don't know how long it's been floating around. It could have been there for a week for all we know.
True.
No timestamp.
That sucks.
I would need it, or I would only use it if it would search my friends, my followers.
That would be good.
My followers matter. Give me that and I'm good to go. I'd love it.
Now, don't we have some search tools like that on everything Twitter that'll search just your friends and followers?
Yes, we do.
I think we do. Everything Twitter.
We'll add a link.
And we are still updating everything Twitter. I actually have another one going out tomorrow, which I'm going to mention here in a minute as one of our topics. But so everyone knows, everything Twitter, the catalog is not as fast as it was for a while as the number of developers slow down, but we're still adding sites. So anything else instant before we talk about this new site? No? I can't think of another one right now anyway. So Twit Change. Yes, this will come out the same day that the post comes out. Have you guys seen this yet, Twit Change?
I'm
going to tell you. You will bid. It goes to charity for supporting rebuilding some of the stuff in Haiti, apparently. But when you bid, you're bidding on a true star who will follow you for a certain amount of time as well as retweet. Basically, you get an interaction with a well-known star via Twitter for a guaranteed amount of time. Like Justin Bieber's on for 90 days. He guarantees to follow you, to retweet you a certain time and have it go. So, but it's all for charity. And you get to bid on the artist you want. I think Eva Longoria, is in it. A couple others. We'll look at the site again real quick and we'll bookmark it for everybody. But the idea is that you participate and interact with a big known star while you help charity, and Twitter is the driving force.
Amazing.
Would you either of you bid for one?
I don't know. Do you know how much it's going to be?
It's
like many thousands.
Everybody's different.
Or is it an auction?
Oh, I think I think one of them, like, it's like an auction. TwitChange. So it's TwitChange.com. TwitChange, a celebrity auction. It only runs for 10 days, which is impressive. They're not making this long term. It's only for 10 days. It starts. I think it starts today, the 15th. The auction is live. You click to bid.
TwitChange.com.
Yeah, we're going to do this live on the air. TwitChange.com right now. Let's see who's at the top.
Can I get on this list?
You could. And
Someone will pay. Maybe someone will pay a dollar.
So everyone knows. Apparently, it's using like eBay or something like that in the back end. Eva Longoria.
Yeah, it's eBay.
Well, but you know
so
what?
At the top is Zachary Levi.
Well, I'm going to give you this. As silly as it sounds, using something like an eBay gives you a way to fight it if they don't actually do it, I guess. But Ricky Martin, George Lopez, Ryan Seacrest, Perez Hilton, Kim Kardashian's in. Let's see how much Kim is worth.
She's not at the top. The biggest is Zachary. After that, Dana White, Nick
the Jonas Brothers,
Alyssa Milano.
Yeah, yeah, Jonas Brothers are in there.
Justin Bieber is like number 5 or something.
Alyssa Milano.
Bieber, sorry.
You can see how our list is a little bit different here. Kardashian, the most bid for her is, I believe,
$1,525.
The cheapest being $77, and she comes with free shipping, just so everybody knows.
So does Jessica Alba.
I think each of these...
I see.
Yeah, but each of these maintain a different...
They've got a mega pack. Mega pack. Yeah, there you go. Amy Jo Martin.
Victoria Beckham is in here. Alicia Keys is in here.
I'm looking at the cheap ones. Ashley Simpson Twitter a retweet for $20 from Ashley Simpson. That's
Kardashian, retweet from Kardashian for $77.
See, this would be great if you're like a young artist or something, like a music artist. You get a couple people to retweet. Like,
yeah, Oprah would join. I might bid on Oprah, maybe.
Well, MC Hammer's doing it for $26 right now. At mention,
get out of here. Hammer has a lot of, he has a lot of followers.
You can get Shaquille O'Neal to at mention you from the Real Shaq for $26 right now.
Can I set the time that he does it?
I don't know.
Holy cow. Okay, guys, I want to tell you this. Forget all this. Alyssa Milano, who has a ton of followers, she's up to over $3,000.
Here's Alicia Keys will Twitter retweet you for $41. That's pretty good.
Yep. Alyssa will give you 90 days of following, retweet one of your tweets, and send out a tweet, including your handle. Beyond the 90 days, of course, it's up to the actual celebrity to follow you. But
Lenny Kravitz for $42 a retweet.
Hey, you can get Tony Hawk for $76.
You have to pre-qualify for bids over $2,000, which I appreciate they're doing that too. So you know, it's some of these $2,000 ones are not big scammers.
Nick Jonas a retweet for $50. I think the retweet's the way to go. The at mention is not the big deal.
We are up here. We are pimping the buying of retweets from stars. You realize that, don't you?
It's
yeah,
for charity.
I'm not in support of that.
Sierra. Sierra's only worth $61.
Aww.
Well, now wait. You got to understand. It's also based upon how many followers these people have, right?
You got to calculate the dollars per follower.
Well,
let's find out who's the best value.
Well, that's what the key is finding out value for dollars.
Someone needs to make a little mashup to monitor this. Pull in the API for these and tell us who the best value is.
Whoa, I totally disagree then. Well, how many? Soulja Boy has over 1 million followers. His is only for $48.
Because
there you go. Because it might be the best value. People don't know.
No, the people that would use him aren't following. They don't know about this yet. That's what's going on. The people
that's what I'm saying.
Soulja Boy has 1 million followers and they want $60, but Alyssa Milano only has smaller, but they want $3,000. Because look at who's bidding on this. I'm thinking Hammer is the way to go because he has a heck of a lot of quality followers. I'm thinking Hammer.
All right.
I'm glad I got you guys excited.
I don't think we should be excited, but we are.
I'm not participating in this.
I'm gonna go to the very bottom of the list just for grins. And Usher is at the bottom, and for $192, Usher will give you the entire package. Just so we know,
how much? I think they're gonna call in their friends, and these will be multi-thousand dollars by the end.
Get the hell. Wait a minute.
No celebrity is gonna let themselves be sold for a few dollars.
Can I throw you back a little bit now? I don't know, Caleb. I don't know about your background and music stuff, but Corvita. Sheila E. is on here, so we can be clear. So everybody knows, late 80s, pop star, Prince, you know, the whole back in the day. Sheila E. is on here. $51 for Sheila E. If you want to. I don't know how many followers she has. We need to look at Sheila E. Drummer. I'm going to look her up. Let's look. Hold on. Let me. She probably has like nine. She has like nine followers. It's that. Depp. Sorry for everybody listening live. We're doing this.
Yeah, let's move on. This is boring.
I know it's boring, but I'm sorry. It just everyone needs to understand. She has 9,000 followers. So.
Meek.
All right. What else do we have left? I thought you guys would like that one, though. I thought it was a neat way to raise money for charity for Haiti. I thought it was a neat way to do it. So.
There you go.
We had one more. What was the last one we had? We had one more story. What the heck was it? Does anyone know?
I saw the Facebook Zuba? Movie last night.
Before his announcement. Yeah, the Facebook movie. Caleb, but Corvita, you weren't on yet. He saw the Facebook movie. How was it?
It was great. It was much better than I expected.
So we should go? Was it? Did
yes,
it seem
you should go.
Like? Did it seem like a? I know it was made up, but along the lines. But did it seem like it could be the truthful way that everything took place?
I'm sure it's. I read the Ben Mezrich book that it was based on, and I know a few people who work at Facebook. So I think there's some truth to it, but clearly it's an old, it's like a 5-year old story, and it was exaggerated to be a movie and all this stuff. But I don't think it actually portrayed Facebook or Mark in a bad light. The writing was fantastic, the music was excellent. It's a very engaging film the entire way. It's not cheesy, so if you have any interest in sort of an idea, like an exaggerated little story about how it got founded, and it's just fun. It was good. I'm gonna go see it again.
Okay, well that's one plus, I guess. You know, I'll take it for what it's worth there and jump on with that one. I wanted to see it. I wanted to see how close it was or realistic it was. So you've got my attention now. I was a little worried it was going to be kind of cheesy.
No, it's not. They spent a lot of time making it authentic, and even the scenes where Mark is like programming and talking through his thoughts, it's not fake computer speak. It's real computer speak. So they went to some length to make it as authentic as they could.
Very nice. So what other news? Corvita, you were saying something a minute ago, and we cut you off to talk about the movie, but was there another topic?
You had brought up Zabu or
Zazuba. Yeah, well, it was a side thing just to say that we talk so much about, you know, being able to work online and location services, but a company started up out of DC, and I had someone ping me about them is how I found them. And they do, they're based in Washington, DC only right now, but they do this reservation service, but not restaurants. And the object is to base it for any business. So they have a lot of people right now in personal care. So from haircuts to basically all the stuff you'd expect, right? Male and female personal care stuff, haircuts, tanning, waxing, everything you imagine. But the idea is to be able to reserve and use their service as a reservation. And they're developing a mobile app. So you'll have a mobile app to go out there as well. Do you guys think that is still, you think it's a market to be able to reserve everything that you do? Not just a restaurant table, but everything online? Mobily? As you walk
personally,
on
no. No, not unless it's like a library book or something. Or maybe like the order from Barnes & Noble, something that I'm consistently going to, maybe. But not necessarily something I might do on like a monthly basis or something like that. Maybe my groceries, if somebody can, I could place an order for groceries and just come get them and not have to walk down the aisle.
Would you use something like that, Caleb? Say it was on iPhone or Android.